Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Cypress Trail Hideout. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees broadcasting live out at the Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue. Of course, we'll be here until 3. Wheelhouse coming up 3 to 7. Come enjoy this amazing barbecue. Pat just brought us some. He brought us some of the brisket, some of the burn-ins, some of the sausage as well.
Yep.
Fantastic. Those burn-ins, very good.
Love the burn-ins.
Yeah, they're very, very good. Beer's cold. Come on, say hello to us. Also, we're giving away gift cards for here at Cypress Trail Hideout. Also, what was the seafood kitchen? Floyd's. Floyd's Seafood Kitchen as well. All you have to do is say hello. Our marketing team is at the hostess stand. Just drop your name inside the giveaway box, draw your name, and all of a sudden you win a couple of bucks to Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue, among some other things as well. Also a chance for you to win a grill from the Texas Star Grill Shop, is all part of the summer circuit, and also the Cajun Country Getaway from Lafayette Travel. All right, so we started this yesterday.
Yes.
It's kind of the Killer Bee game show here with the Houston Texans, where we bid on how good the Texans can be. This is when we're optimistic about how good the Texans can potentially be. We have five different categories. Yesterday we did the scoring defense. We started 32. We go down to 31. We see how far we go that we're willing to go with the Houston Texans in different categories. So scoring defense yesterday, I ended up going Houston Texans top 23. Scoring offense today, we'll have the passing offense, we'll have the rushing offense, and we'll also do the draft slot. So basically it's a best of five series. At the conclusion of the 2022 season, one of us will be the winner, and the winner will be the treat, or we'll get
lunch
from the loser. So today's the scoring defense. Brendan, hit the music. Who's going first, by the way, Brendan?
Well, we have to flip
it. I would, right?
I can't remember. Did I go first
yesterday? Went first yesterday.
Yeah,
all right,
so it's
start. Well, do you think the Texans will be top 31 in scoring offense?
I do.
I haven't put much thought into this yet today.
I think that's me every day. I think they will be. They will not finish dead last.
Okay, so you have the Texans top 31 in scoring offense in the 2022 season, led by Davis Mills in his second season. I'm buying time to see if I'm willing to go top 30. Yeah, I'm willing to go top 30. Okay. I think the Houston Texans will have a top 30 scoring offense in the upcoming year.
I'll go top 29.
You say that with some conviction.
I do, because I don't think Davis Mills is the worst quarterback in the NFL, and I think that he has more weapons than some of the worst teams in the NFL, and I give them a chance to be better than the worst team in the NFL or the second worst team in the NFL offensively.
You just talked me in to going top 28. I think the Texans will have a top 28 scoring offense in the 2022 season.
Boy, I'm on the fence. I think they will have a top 27 scoring offense in the NFL.
Now it's getting a little hairy. Now we're talking about some territory where it's a little scary. Yesterday we got to top 23. I think I ended up getting that. Top 23. You said 27, right?
Yeah.
So the Texans would have to be top 26 in scoring offense this upcoming year. You know what? I'm a Pep Hamilton believer. Give me top 26 for the Houston Texans.
I'm going to go top 25.
Man.
I'm going to go top 25 because I'm a believer in Pep. I'm a believer in the fact that they have some semblance of a running game this year. I'm a believer in the second year of Davis Mills being able to move the football a little bit. I'll take it. I'll take my chances. Marcus Mariota, Baker Mayfield, you know, I could keep going, but I'm not going to give you too much help.
So you went 26. That's what you said, right? 26. Yeah. So I'm looking at a top 25.
Got to be top 25 offense.
I'll do it. Top 25 Houston Texans scoring offense here. I think Davis Mills is going to lead them to points. Brandon Cooks, bottom end, wide receiver one in the NFL. Mechie, he's going to play sooner than we think. Give me top 25.
Congratulations. That's where we're cutting it
Man,
off.
Man, I was trying to bluff you. I was trying to bluff you. I wasn't going to go to 23.
No, sir, was I going that far. So Man. There you go. Congratulations.
See, I feel good about my top 23. I don't feel great about my top 25.
It's just like who said it. You just got to try and get on top at the very end because you're going to win some and lose some.
So this is, of course, the farthest that the Killer Bees are willing to confidently go with where the Houston Texans will be in the 2022 season. I think I'm learning that I might be more optimistic than you are. Because I have the first two. I have Texans top 23 defense from yesterday, and today I have top 25 offense.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, like I said, you're going to win some and lose some, so I'm fine.
Is that a fair representation of the Killer Bees that I'm the optimistic one
Never.
Of the two of us and you're the pessimistic
No.
one of the two
No.
of us?
Uh-uh.
I mean, the proof's in the pudding.
You can't go with two...
What
two,
am I pessimistic about?
Two statistical prop bet scenarios to decide that you were suddenly Mr. Sunshine and Rainbows.
Okay,
I'm not having any of that.
Well, give me a scenario in which I'm not Mr. Sunshine and Rainbows. I always scream optimism and happiness and joy.
I mean, you can't. They haven't done anything on the field this year yet for you to be critical. I could just mention the two words David and Cully, and I could show you where in the past you haven't exactly been sunshine and rainbows.
I thought you were going to say Davis Mills.
No, I could do that too. We could, I mean, again, there you go.
All right, so I got top 25 scoring offense for the Houston Texans. I really thought I was going to get Blankers to go top 24, and I was going to say no to top 23. So I feel a little stuck with this one. I felt good about my top 23 defense yesterday. I don't feel good about my top 25 offense today, but let's talk about the offense. Pep Hamilton, I do think that's an upgrade, right, over Tim Kelly.
Yep.
So, and also the way he grooms quarterbacks, Justin Herbert, Andrew Luck, just to name a couple. So that's a reason for optimism, I believe. Davis Mills last five games, people are a little different on where you stand with Davis Mills in the last five games. Like, we aren't card-carrying members of the Mills Mafia. He did have numbers that compare with a lot of the rookies. But do those numbers compare great relative to the rest of the NFL and what it means to have a top 25 scoring offense? I don't know. I really feel like the bet here, top 25, if they get there, I think it is riding on the shoulders. And if it's riding on the neck of Davis Mills, I feel very good.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, I think in looking at this, I like where they're at from a year ago to now in so many different ways. So I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic, and I'm going to be more encouraged. I'm also not going to be unrealistic in terms of how long it takes to make a massive turnaround on either side of the football or as a whole. So I think you got to factor all those things in.
I think the running game's going to be better.
I for sure, that's where I'm going to start with the fact that, I mean, look, it's hard to not be better with what you had to work with a year ago. But I definitely think with the two options you have with the youth of Pierce and also the established veteran of Mac, I think you're in a good spot.
Look, I think both of those running backs are better than Rex Burkhead.
No doubt.
And look, they had Mark Ingram early. Even though Mark Ingram was their better player before they traded into the Saints for literally the worst draft pick you can potentially get back in a trade, seventh round or 3 years down the road, I still believe that Mac and Pierce, an upgrade over where Mark Ingram was in his career last year.
And so the line helps.
The line's going to be... We always say injuries, so it's always like a lazy comment. Oh, yeah, it depends on the injuries. But Laremy Tunsil, the fact that he sat out games when he could have played is like a huge red flag.
Yep.
Titus Howard being fixed in at the right tackle spot. Look, that's also an unknown, though. That's an unknown, too, because Titus Howard, I think, is a talented football player. He's not lived up to his potential. He's not lived up to his talent, so there's still some uncertainty there. There's uncertainty with Kenyon Green, who I think is going to be a very good player, but he's got to prove it. The receiving core... You feel safe about Brandon Cooks, right? Because he's been, like, steady his entire career.
Right.
He's never been an elite wide receiver one. But I do believe he is a wide receiver one. Low end, a wide receiver one.
The youth is where you have to have concern,
they have to develop,
right?
Well,
Collins has to take the next step up.
Yeah, it's Mechie the swing.
Has to prove he was worth where you took him and what you gave up to get him. And he's got to be healthy. So the ifs and the buts are more centered around the youth there. But if they live up to billing... They should be good enough to complement Cooks to give you options to move the football.
Yeah. See, I think that that's where we're going to I think that's what's going to win the bet or lose the bet, right, is the development of the young players. Ocho's saying, is this name that tune or team in this case? Yeah, it kind of is like name that team. We're willing to bid on how good we think the Houston Texans might be. I'm stuck with the Texans' top 25 scoring offense, which last year they were towards the bottom in scoring offense in the NFL. The young players are going to swing this because you know what you're going to get in Brandon Cooks. But Brandon Cooks was on this team last year when you were dreadful offensively. If Davis Mills can take that next step, like to be a top 25 offense next season, how good does Davis Mills have to be? I wouldn't even say he has to be that great. I would say like top 20.
Yeah.
Or top 25,
I would
right?
say top 25. Yeah, I think that kind of fits right in order, in line with that. Because, look, we've said for all the reasons of thinking about the big picture and not worrying about the wins to the fact that you do still need to see progress from a guy, and that means being able to put points on the board and go on and manufacture scoring drives. He can't be rock bottom piss poor. He's got to be able to show you that he's got some ability. And I think in order for them to be anywhere close to top 25 offensively, he's got to be a top 20, 25-ish quarterback, you know, in that realm, probably more closer to 20 than 25.
You know what could be – this is a scary thought that I've literally not heard mentioned. And I know that the injuries conversation, anybody can get hurt. But if Davis Mills got hurt, Kyle Allen's the Houston Texans starting quarterback right now. Go Cougs. I love Kyle
Allen.
And
Ags and who else?
Well played.
Okay, just saying.
Well played.
Multiple choice.
Well played. But that would be dreadful if Davis Mills misses even like four games. I mean, how are the Texans scoring points?
Yeah,
like,
bite your tongue. The last thing you need to do is put a curse on him before he plays a game. But, yeah, that would be catastrophic in terms of watchability of the Houston Texans.
See, I think Allen was better than what people thought he was going to be when he had his little stint with the football team, right? And I think he played a little bit with Carolina last year.
He did. Well, 2 years ago, he actually did some things with Carolina that put him on the radar. And then didn't he go to Washington last year?
Yeah, I can't.
With Ron Rivera. When Rivera left Carolina and went to Washington, I think he took him with. But he did have some signs of progress that he could move, that he could play quarterback in this league when he was playing with Carolina.
It was his 19th season. You're right. He followed Rivera over to Washington in his 19th year when Carolina was having all those quarterback, that mess that they had at the quarterback spot. He was okay. But if Kyle Allen plays like three games this year as the Texans quarterback,
that ruins everything.
I'm kissing my top 25 yep. Houston Texans gamble.
You kiss
goodbye.
About everything offensively.
And goodbye. I don't even feel great about it, if I'm being completely honest with you.
No
and
doubt
know,
about it. I
know that
I
you're
agree.
Not. I know you're not feeling great about it.
Nope.
I got the Texans at top 25. I don't feel as good about
go.
This one as
well,
I do
you nestled
about.
That one home.
How did I get two odd numbers back-to-back days?
I don't know. You're an odd guy.
Well played. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. All right, how do the Texans compare to who some are claiming to be the top five most improved teams in the NFL? It's Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you again about Doc Linville. I've been telling you about him for quite a while. I did the NeoGraft procedure about 9.5 months ago. I'm telling you right now, it's one of the best things I've ever done. Simply put, it's getting you hair where you don't have any, and it's not the gimmicky foams and creams and sprays and the cover-ups that are out there just trying to gimmicky kind of give you an idea of how you can kind of slide by. No, this is your own hair put where you need it, from a place where you have a lot of it, and giving you better coverage area, a better appearance, and more self-confidence. Check them out right now. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com, because when you do, as an ESPN listener, you can set up a free consultation that normally costs $150. For you, it's free, and you can find out all about the NeoGraft procedure. You can ask all the questions. You can find out, like I did, that there's a 95%+ success rate. The fact that whether you have the baboon's butt showing in the back of your head, or you've got a forehead that's turned into an 8 head and you want your hairline back, this is the best procedure for you. It works. It really does, people. And like I said, that free consultation, you're not on the hook for anything. If you don't want to do it, don't. But if you find out all the information and find out that it might be right for you, it's worth it. Because, like I said, I'm seeing the results on a daily basis. I love what it's done for me. John Granato loves what it's done for him. Jake Asman loves what it's done for him. And the list goes on. Be the next person in line to be able to capitalize on the NeoGraft procedure. Go to 975hair.com.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Cypress Trail Hideout. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees broadcasting live from the Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue. Brought us out some food. It is delicious. Brought us some cold beer. It is cold. A lot of people here, too. Great to see all of the listeners. Great. I'm sure a lot of them are also loyals here.
Total Dallas is here. Big Clarence is here.
I didn't see
Total
Dallas.
The Hive is alive. Clarence has actually tilted the entire bar to the right side right now because he's holding court, so it's fantastic.
Where's Total Dallas? Doesn't want to show his face after the
He's got a Rangers t-shirt on, would you?
That's a good point. I don't see Total Dallas.
Yeah. He's right there in my view, hiding with his little Rangers t-shirt. There he is looking at you.
Oh, there he is. I was offended he didn't say hello. Yeah, there it is. Rangers baseball, wearing it proudly. How many games under 500 are the Rangers now? I'm not quite sure. What's the division lead? 14, 15? I don't know. I've lost count. Anyways, talking about the Texans. How do the Texans compare to the top five most improved by some in the NFL. CBS put together who they think are going to be the five most improved teams in the NFL. Their most improved team, the Philadelphia Eagles. A team that went to the playoffs last year. Let's keep in mind this was a playoff team last year. So if you're talking about most improved, how improved does the most improved team in the NFL have to be when they went 9-8 last year and made the playoffs? Now, they added A.J. Brown, Reddick defensively. They drafted Jordan Davis, who we were bullish over out of Georgia. Are the Eagles the most improved team in the NFL?
Let me just ask you one question, Jeremy, to answer that. Is Jalen Hurts still their quarterback?
He's still their quarterback.
They're not improved at all.
That's where I'm at with the Eagles, too. It's kind of like, look, I think that the Philadelphia Eagles and the Miami Dolphins are like almost exactly the exact same situation, right? Because you've brought in a really good receiver, A.J. Brown. You've helped out the talent around them with your draft picks, and the Eagles had a good draft capital. The Dolphins had some decent draft capital as well, although they lost some of it because they traded for Tyreek Hill. They've built up everything around them to try to elevate the quarterback position. But at the end of the day, you still have two huge question marks with who you have at quarterback with Tua and Jalen Hurts. I think the Eagles roster is better.
Yeah.
But will they win more than nine games with Jalen Hurts as their quarterback? I don't know about that.
The thing is it's what we always go back to, as important of a position as there is in any sport at any time, is the quarterback position in football, because as we talk about with Baker Mayfield, as we talk about in the two scenarios you brought forth, you can have the best team and roster top to bottom in every other aspect, offense, defense, special teams, depth, all-pro talent, everything, skill positions, whatever. If your quarterback is a question mark, your team should not be considered to be a team that's a contender or a strong playoff team. Because until they prove who they are, there's no verifying who you are as a team and as a unit. And that's where the Eagles and the Dolphins are. They can be great defensively. They can have great special teams. They can add skill position players. But if that quarterback plays less than to his abilities, you are going nowhere in a hurry. And Baker Mayfield is the poster boy for that, with a roster that I said a year ago was the most complete roster in the NFL with the Browns.
See, I think the Eagles could make the playoffs. I think
sure,
they
but making the playoffs is totally different than being a legit contender.
And to be the most improved.
Yeah.
Because they were 9-8 last year.
Right.
I think Hurts' cap right now is 10 wins. Like, if Jalen Hurts wins more than 10 games, even with a much better Philadelphia Eagle roster, and I hate saying this about a Channelview kid, I would eat a ton of crow. I just do not see it happening. I don't see the Eagles winning more than 10 games. So they will win. They win one more game than they did last year. They probably have the same fate and result that they had a year ago if they get to this year's postseason. I think the Eagles being at the top of this list is inaccurate. The second one that they have, the Los Angeles Chargers. This was a popular team last year. Look, they also won 9 games. They were 9-8, but they were in a better conference, didn't make the playoffs. I would even say that that was a disappointing finish for the Chargers. Remember, they lost a game to the Texans down the stretch. The Chargers is one of the most improved teams in the NFL. What do you think about it from a Charger perspective?
I think that's more legit simply because Herbert continues to get better. You know the offense still has weapons. And you know that you added Khalil Mack, yep, and you added an above-average corner, and your defense still has a Bosa.
Yep.
And you have a Bosa, and you have, you know, if the safety name escapes me right now.
Derwin
but
James.
James. If James stays healthy, too, you've got one of the better young safeties in the game. That's a team that if their coach can get out of his own way and just let his team do what they need to do, I can see that legitimately being one of the most improved teams in the NFL.
I agree with everything you said, and I like the Chargers as being one of the more improved teams in the NFL. The hurdle here, though, is the strength of that division, because I don't think Kansas City's going anywhere with Pat Mahomes. The Raiders were a team who got to the playoffs last year, and they added Devontae Adams, and I think they upgraded it at the head coaching spot. And then the Denver Broncos added Russell Wilson. So that division's a gauntlet. I think
would
the Chargers will be better. But
would
that's
you
a
not
tough
put the Raiders in that same category we were just talking about? It all lies on Carr's shoulders. If your quarterback is still a question mark and your quarterback doesn't play to his capabilities and maybe a little bit more,
yeah,
no matter what you've done with adding Adams and doing all the things you did, are you going to be any better?
See,
and are you going to be a good team?
I think I like Carr more than you, I think, though. I like David Carr's brother. I think that David Carr is on the brink of being a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
I think he could be. Look, I didn't sell him short because I kept reminding people, first half of the season last year, he was an MVP candidate. People were talking about him as being one of the upstart quarterbacks in the entire league, and then he fell off. And obviously, there were so many distractions with the Raiders, not just being in Las Vegas, but everything off the field and the Gruden things and all the other things. And you're like, you know what? It would be impossible to think that anybody could make it through that unscathed or not have a negative effect. So you can factor all those things in. I think he can play, but he's just put it all on his shoulders right now.
Sure, and this needs to be also like the peak of his career, right, where he's at in the NFL. Like, this needs to be his 3 to 4 year window, kind of like we saw Matt Schaub. Like, this needs to be that peak for David Carr's brother and also, you know, the rest of the Raiders in their organization as well. All right, the New York Jets as a team that's going to be the most improved in the NFL. Second year, of course, of Zach Wilson. The draft was kind to them, if they all pan out. Sauce Gardner, Jermaine Johnson slipped to them. They got Garrett Wilson very high to help out Wilson as well. What do you think of the Jets' capability of being one of the most improved teams in the NFL?
I'm not so sold on that. Look, I know Zach Wilson has a lot of athletic ability. I was disappointed in what Zach Wilson was a year ago. And as much as we say all those first-round quarterbacks, with the exception of Mac Jones, were less than what we expected them to be. And it starts with Trevor Lawrence at the top. I would say right next to it, I would say Zach Wilson. Look, there's more question marks than answers right now. You've got a big arm. You're athletic. But the fact is, people are going to say, did you really play the schedule in college to prove that you belong on this next level, drafted where you were drafted, and do the things that you think you can do? Now, it's still quite possible with no ceiling that he can come back in year two, yep, give him more weapons, he can do more things. That's great. But to say that in a year's time, because of the fact that he's a year older and now he's really more established and they're trying to do some more things, that they're suddenly going to be the most improved team in the NFL, I think those are two different things and two different discussions. I'm not willing to go there.
Breece Hall, throw him into the mix as well. Michael Carter, who had a pretty good rookie year last year. The receiving core is much better. They've put Zach Wilson in a position to have success with what they've built around him. I like Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson's going to be a very good NFL quarterback. We didn't see a whole lot of that last year. We saw it in bits and pieces. We saw it in flashes. That's usually the case for rookie QBs. But, yeah, like you said, he's got tons of talent. Pittsburgh Steelers. Big Ben, that era is gone. Mitch Trubisky, will he be the starter? Who knows? Kenny Pickett, they drafted him as well. This was another team that won 9 games last year. And I don't see significant improvement for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You brought in Miles Jack, Levi Wallace. Like, the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the most improved teams in the NFL? Like, are they winning 11 games? Are they making a run in the postseason? I don't see it with a veteran in Trubisky and a first-year quarterback in Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I think that the main thing is the mainstay is your defense, right? And you got Watt and you got some guys. Their front seven is very, very staunch. You know, you've got Minka Fitzpatrick on the back end. So defensively, I think that that's going to punch your meal ticket. But in order to do anything and be most improved, you've got to be able to capitalize on a running back that had, that as good as he was and where you drafted him, you basically punished him because your offensive line was garbage. And so he couldn't fully develop into the player that you expected him to be. Regardless of which one of your quarterbacks, you lost Juju Smith-Schuster. So now you do have some good receivers, but you've got to continue to develop. You drafted one. You're going to look to try and get better on that side of the football. Does those kind of changes show in the win column and turn it around quickly for a team to be most improved? I don't think so. I think that defensively, the division got better too, which is a big problem for them. So I think trying to get a playoff spot, within your own division becomes more difficult. I just think that they could be better offensively where they need to be, but I don't think that overall they're going to be better enough to say that they're going to be the most improved team.
The fifth team's a doozy. Cincinnati Bengals, who lost in the Super Bowl to the L.A. Rams. See, I see Cincinnati going backwards.
I
know that they have a lot of young players, but I think that their Super Bowl run was, I don't want to say miraculous, but a lot had to go their way.
It was more improbable and unexpected because we thought they were a couple years from getting there. The fact that they got there is a feather in their cap. Now, to stay there, I just got done saying the division is better. Mm-hmm. The AFC has gotten better. Everybody's gunning for them, and now there's a book on what to do to stop a Joe Burrow and, on top of that, to defend a Jamar Chase and do the things that they need to do as a whole. And so it's become more difficult because now there's a target on your back because you did win the AFC a year ago. So I think that I'm with you. I expect them to take a step back. Now, that doesn't mean that they can take 2 steps forward in the next couple of years because they have the foundation and they have the right pieces in place. I just think that their offensive line, they had to improve it. They tried to. We'll see how that works out. But I don't think this year's the year for them to take another step up.
Look, saying an improvement would be them winning the Super Bowl. And
right.
In the AFC, I would take Buffalo ahead of Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. We don't know the Deshaun Watson situation, but if Deshaun Watson suspended 8 or 10 games, I'm not saying that's my prediction, but if he is, I think Cleveland's better in the second half than Cincinnati. I won't put the AFC South teams ahead of Cincy, not Tennessee, even though they finished with a better record, not Indy, but I'll put Kansas City
yeah, for sure.
ahead of Cincinnati. So how many teams is that? 3? So I have Cincinnati as my fourth or fifth, depending on the Watson situation, best team in the AFC.
Yeah, look,
not
I
the
mean,
best.
You don't know what Lamar Jackson's going to be, and they'll if they rectify that contract situation and everything that's going on in Baltimore. But if they're healthy, you have to respect a former MVP with his ability to run and pass. And their defense is always good. I think that there's a lot more competition. And like I said, and the book's out now on Cincinnati, so everybody's gunning for him.
Yeah. All right. On the other side, I want to see the Houston Texans, who we think is going to be better, right, this year. Should they be higher on this most improved list than any of the other teams? Also, some people responded to that, what we thought about those most improved teams. We'll get into all of that. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
They're playing credit card roulette here at the bar at Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue. We were eating our snack that we were brought over a moment ago by Pat Delicious. They gave us some burn-ins, gave us some brisket, gave us some sausage. And Brendan, who's not here, he's back at ESPN 97.5 hearing us talk about all this delicious food. Brendan oftentimes has some very unpopular and terrible food takes.
Uh-huh.
And we were just ranking, which all the food here is tremendous, but we were ranking the best barbecue meats. Brisket, burn-ins, ribs, beef or pork, sausage. And Brendan said he had sausage as his number two best barbecue meat.
Be fair.
It's ridiculous.
I moved that to three.
So what do you have ahead of sausage?
You felt the pressure.
Brisket
that
and pork
That was peer
ribs.
Pressure.
No, that was fair. To be honest, I do tend to get sausage more often than pork ribs when I get barbecue. But
that's
that doesn't
ridiculous.
Necessarily mean I think it's better.
Both renditions of the ribs, pork and beef, are ahead of sausage. Brisket is, burnt ends are. I feel like I'm missing something, too.
Well, you brisket, burnt ends. And see, I if it's real, if it's the fresh turkey, if the turkey's done the right way, I think the turkey has to play in the mix. The other thing that's a technicality with the sausage is depends on how the sausage is prepared. If there's a lot of stuff inside with the sausage, I'm not as big a fan if you get the true sausage as part of the barbecue platter. But, yeah, I think the burnt ends, to me, how they're made, but, like, they are neck and neck with brisket at the top.
See, if I'm going with a bird, though, I'm going with chicken over turkey.
Okay. I'm not.
I'm fine with that.
But I also think, like, from the standpoint of see, you know, I like well done in a lot of stuff. So
your steak? You eat your steak well done?
I like beef ribs over pork ribs.
Don't bury the lead. Do you like your steak well done?
Medium well.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know how you don't know that.
Oh, my goodness.
Ever since I've been here, that's been a topic of point of contention and a main topic.
Oh, man. We've been bashing Brendan for bad food takes, and you like your steak medium well?
Yep. I don't. I've always been that way. Sorry.
Man.
Sorry, not sorry. I'm eating it, not you.
Yeah, but you're. I mean, what's the point of even getting a steak?
Because of the flavor, because of the taste.
Oh.
You know what? Just because I don't follow the book of Branham for how I like my steaks doesn't mean that I feel an ounce of guilt or remorse.
Well, I mean, all the ounces of steak you've eaten over the year, you've never had a good one. You've never had a good ounce of steak over the years. We were talking about the most improved teams. If you want to get in on those food discussions, it's a Friday. Why the heck not? 713-780-3776. What's your favorite meat when you're talking about barbecue? We were discussing the most improved teams in the NFL, and we'll get into where we think the Texans could belong
on
that list.
Can I first of all dispel something real quick from Richard, who said, I eat ketchup on steak, too? No, that's a misconception. I admit
steak?
To what I do and what I order and how I eat my steak. I don't believe that you ever put ketchup or any kind of steak sauce on a steak. Just the same way if barbecue's done the right way, you don't need the barbecue sauce. You just eat the barbecue.
Joel,
so let me clear that up,
Joel,
I think it depends on where you're getting the steak. Because I don't mind a little Worcestershire sauce like on an Outback steak.
Never.
That's fine on an Outback steak saltgrass.
I always said, hang on, Brendan. I've always said that you use the condiments when it comes to steak and such as a cover-up. Like, in our house, you had to eat what my mom made. And some nights were better than others. But the only time that the ketchup came into the equation with steak would be if it was just not, if it wasn't made the right way, and I know I had to eat something, I would then go to the ketchup bottle. But other than that, I'd never put ketchup on steak.
What were you saying, Brendan?
Well, so what I was going to say, I don't personally mind if you go steak sauce. I don't necessarily think it needs it, but I also don't think – I don't have a problem with it. I was going to say it's not crazy to just make the jump to think Joel would want ketchup with steak, right? Like, you're a big ketchup fan.
Yeah, I'm a big – look, you guys know that. I think it's on the vegetable chart to me, although it's a fruit. I get it, people. But I love ketchup. I would consider ketchup on a multitude of things that most people wouldn't. And I'm not ashamed of that. I own that.
3780. I like a good homemade ketchup. I like a good little spicy ketchup too. But yeah, that's like French fries.
Salt-free ketchup.
I can tell the difference between all the different ketchups, and I believe Heinz is the best ketchup and the only ketchup.
3780. A shoe equals a medium well steak.
To each his own. That's your opinion.
7288. My girl likes her steaks medium well and dips it in ketchup. I did not know until we've been dating a while. I hope that you're
not
engaged.
Is that a deal breaker?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Stop it.
Deal breaker. I would not marry anybody who liked their steak medium well. Wouldn't. It's an absolute deal breaker.
Like, as long as she likes your meat, Jeremy, it doesn't matter. So the fact of the matter is let her live her life.
Absolute deal breaker for me.
Okay.
Anyway, but you're right. To each their own. 5806. We're talking about the most improved teams. We brought up Trubisky. People don't like Trubisky. His career record, 34-23 with the sorry teams in Chicago. Watson is 28-26. Who's the better quarterback? All right. Tim Tebow, Vince Young, all big fans of this texter.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can look at it a million different ways. Look, do I think that Trubisky is worthy of a second chance? Yes, and he'll get that in camp. But is there a chance that Pickett could beat him out and they could just already say the future is now? Absolutely. Because what he's shown you in the past, from the way he reads defenses to the throws that he makes, to that there's no way in hell you can think that Mitch Trubisky sizes up to just about anybody else in this league. But, again, he did what Jameis Winston did, and Jameis got a second chance. So give him the opportunity to prove that he still belongs.
See, I'm very intrigued with Mitch Trubisky going to his second team. I'm higher Mitch Trubisky than some people. I've been blasted on this radio station for having a higher opinion of Mitch Trubisky than some. But to say Mitch Trubisky's better than Deshaun Watson because of his career win-loss record is an interesting way to categorize the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm not even all that high on Deshaun Watson. I think I'm actually lower on Watson than some people. I still think he's like a top-10 quarterback, but I think he makes tons of negative plays that can like destroy the flow of an offensive series, which I think is very important. In the NFL. All right, so we looked at those five teams that the CBS thinks are going to be the most improved. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, New York, the Chargers, and the Eagles. I guess I should be clear on which New York team, the Jets.
Right.
Do you think that the Houston Texans would be more improved than one or any of these teams?
No. It's not. I don't know. The Texans aren't going to be that increased. They will not have that big of a jump in 1 year. They're coming from rock bottom. So the fact that do I see the light at the end of the tunnel? Yes. Do I think in the very near future you are going to see measurable increases in their win totals and their roster and their ability to maintain, sustain, and then take serious gains? Absolutely. But is it going to happen this season? Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's what I think. The Texans are better overall.
Yes.
But I don't think the Texans are better overall in the win column. Vegas last year predicted the Texans to win four games on the year. And I kind of laugh at whenever they talk about David Culley overachieved. No, he hit the Vegas total of four. They won four games last year, which Vegas predicted them to do. This year they're predicted to win 4.5. So they're half a game better than when they were a year ago. That's not drastic improvement. What the Texans are building, though, is going to give them drastic improvement at some point. It's just not this coming season.
Right. And like I said, I don't want it to be because I want another year of high draft picks. Knowing what I've known, what I know now, seeing Nick Caserio do what he's done with drafts, I believe that he's the right guy to run a draft and he can get more quality players on this roster by doing it again with good picks. So whether you go quarterback or not, to me, is a side discussion after you realize you got a guy that's in the right position to get you the right picks, which you didn't have that kind of security with in the past, all the way back to Rick Smith. He could nail the first rounders, but the third, fourth, and fifths, which are going to be significantly important to your team and the team building, were ones that he swung and missed on. We knew Bill O'Brien was a complete and utter crapshoot, and most times you were going to find yourself in the crapper instead of reaping the benefits of a whim that played out. So now you got a guy that seems to know what he's doing. I prefer for the long-term stability and success of this franchise, he gets another good draft class of picks to be able to capitalize the best.
Brendan, our producer, who is a Lion fan, is not only producing our show today, but he's texting into our show today, 713-780-3776. He says, Goff and the Lions will give Rodgers and his dumb tattoo a run in the NFC North. Brendan likes sausage.
I absolutely
and tons
do not
of
believe
drugs.
This.
Somebody did text us that, though. I know it wasn't you. But, yeah, we had a
Dan Campbell and all the caffeine in the world and whatever they've added
on that
roster.
They're going to bite a lot of knees on their way to competing in the NFC North.
Yeah, including weenies when it comes to trying to get on top of that division. There's no chance that they're getting that done this year.
Here's how I feel about Dan Campbell. I love Dan Campbell. I do not want Dan Campbell to be the head coach of my team. Like, he is great to watch from afar. I don't think he's a very good head coach. I think he's mediocre at best. But he's entertaining to watch from afar coach somebody else's team.
See, I would disagree with that because we don't know what he truly is. But in terms of if he's just the leader of men and he delegates well and he trusts the people that he puts in the position to run his offense, his defense, and his special teams, and he just has to be that kind of Rambo-type leader, I think he can be successful. When he bites off more than he can chew and tries to get too involved or make too many decisions, that's where I think he can hurt himself. Because otherwise, I think the main thing is he's got a locker room that buys into him, that believes that believes in what he's selling, that is happy to play for him, which is tough to do in a lot of cases, and convince locker rooms that you're the guy. I just think that he has to maybe stay within himself in terms of not trying to do too much or put him in positions where he doesn't have the experience.
9013 says Lovie and Pepper were 3 to 4 more wins. So
this year?
9013 saying that the Houston Texans are going to go 8-9 or 7-10 this season.
Yeah, okay. You want to get in on a betting game? I think Jeremy and I would be both in at whatever you want to put.
I would bet whatever he'd be willing to bet on that.
That's ridiculous.
And then I would go hedge it in Vegas.
Well, that's fine.
I would try to middle that
out
of it.
I don't want you to have to.
Yeah. I don't envision a scenario in which the Texans get to 8 wins.
Stop.
That might have been Cody that texted us, though. He's optimistic about the Texans.
You got a guy that drinks the blue Kool-Aid. That's the guy.
Speaking of Cody, it pains me to say this. He is the Who Said It champion. And today, since it is Friday, we'll be playing Who Said It at 2 o'clock. So it's Suits against the Killer Bees. He tries to defend his title. Look, great champions. Anybody can win a championship. The great champions are the ones who can defend it. He's never defended the Who Said It championship. Killer Bees try to win our title back at 2. But coming up next, we've seen some Jeremy Pena. We didn't see him yesterday, though, health and safety protocols. But he is on the trip to Oakland when they open up the series against the A's. Don't know if he'll be in the lineup or not. But some of the unexpected Major League Baseball storylines, have the Astros really upgraded at shortstop? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Live from Cypress Trail Hideout for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, the Houston, the Astros, they'll be playing the A's tonight. If you're looking for a place to watch the game, play a little bit late, but this is a great spot. Still a little bit of time to come hang out with us. We'll be here until 3. Total Dallas here, Big C's here. Cody Stoots will be looking to defend his title. Just walked into the building as well, wearing his Hawaiian shirt, his white Hawaiian shirt at a barbecue joint. The chances that thing stays clean until 7 o'clock?
80%.
80%?
Yep.
It's higher than I would have gone. It's higher than
he's
I would have gone.
He's a connoisseur, but he's clean. I believe in Cody.
Okay.
Until he starts cocking off about winning the Who Said It, and then all bets are off.
Come say hello to us. Come say hello to them, though. They'll be here until 7. Enjoy the amazing barbecue. We've had some. Enjoy the amazing cold beer, frozen cocktails, whole lot more. Also, you can register to win a new grill from Texas Star Grill Shop. Weekend getaway from Lafayette Travel as well, all a part of our summer circuit. Live music tonight, live music tomorrow as well. Coming out tonight to perform here in front of everybody, Bronco Jr., and then tomorrow, the Hit and Run Band. You don't want to miss that. Never a Charge here as well. Live music on the patio every Friday and Saturday. Happy hour gets started in 13 minutes, and it runs till 6 o'clock. It's not some little weak, soft happy hour. A four-hour happy hour. 24 craft, draft, local, and regional brands. They also have Alstat, so BK will be very happy with a little bit of Alstat brewing
a little bit later. Yeah.
So if you want to try it, you can come hang out with them and give it a shot. All right, so Jeremy Pena for the Houston Astros, didn't see him in the lineup yesterday, but Major League Baseball had a list of unexpected Major League Baseball storylines. And one of the storylines was that the Astros upgraded at shortstop. Are you confident saying that Peña is an upgrade over Carlos Correa, let's say for this year, let's say for 2 years, let's say for 3 years? Are you ready to call it now, and until when are you ready to call it?
I'm ready to call it now simply because of the price that it would pay.
Get rid of the contract for a second. Get rid of the contract for a second. Let's just say better baseball player aside from the finances.
Can I factor age in if I can't factor in money?
Sure. Yeah, you can. Yeah, absolutely, you can factor in age.
Because I think age and health. Now, the health starts to be a concern because he's already had two injuries this season that cost games and put him on the IL.
And the reason that I wanted you to limit the finances is because it's a slam-dunk, no-brain decision
Right. Whenever
you talk about the finances.
But when we talk about the transition from the team with the core four and the pitching and everything that they had that led him on this run for 5 years, and talking about how their sustainability is reliant upon the fact that they've got a new core starting with Tucker and Yordan and Peña, and then the young pitching staff that they have under team control, I believe that that is such a factor for the next 3 to 5 years that Correa got money that he tried to earn over his first multiple years in this league, and now he's going to cash in. Peña will have his day to do that as well. But at his age, to show that defensively you haven't slipped that much from one of the best defensive shortstops the Astros have ever seen, offensively what he's been able to do, basically coming in raw with never playing a major league game before, I will take Peña over Carlos Correa.
I'm not ready to go there yet in terms of who's a better player.
I don't know about
now.
Mound visits. If that factors in, that's on you.
I mean, the mound visits makes this a no-brainer towards Carlos Correa.
Because
we all know that that's Carlos Correa's best attribute. It's not the fact that he can, you know, hit close to 300. It's not the fact that he can hit clutch home runs and can flirt with 30. It's not the fact that he has a gold glove glove. It's not the fact that he has a cannon for a right arm. The best attribute that Carlos Correa has are those mound visits. There's no doubt about it. All right, say that tongue-in-cheek. Carlos Correa, I still think, is a better player right now. Now, the one thing that you brought up where I think it does kind of make it a question are the injuries. Peña, like, he had the one short stint on the injured list, but he still played more games than Carlos Correa has to this point. Now, Correa has the same amount of at-bats because he's hitting a little higher in the order, but I still believe Correa is better. Now, the finances, there's no doubt about it. So I think, like, in the next 2 years, though, Jeremy Peña is that's when he passes Carlos Correa in terms of, like, overall total production. I don't think it's there yet. So I disagree with this, you know, top 10 unexpected storylines. The Astros upgraded at shortstop. When you throw in the finances, they absolutely did. But just comparing the two players, I think Correa is still better this year. I still think he has one more. But in 3 years, it's all Jeremy
Peña. It's like
Peña.
A return on investment question,
sure,
right?
Sure.
If the return on the investment right now is, like, through the roof in favor of Jeremy Peña. But when you look at some of the intangibles, is Peña a leader? Regardless of how much you can poo-poo and or make fun of the mound visits, but in the clubhouse, respected by everybody, being able to get things done, I think Correa had that. I think Peña's on his way at some point, but he's not there yet. I think from the pop standpoint, I would give Carlos more consistent pop in his favor. But the periodic pop coupled with what Peña's been able to do with timely hits, game winners, and the other things that he's pieced together. And again, like I said, the fact that he's never been called up to the show before to show what he can do, and he's already been doing it, I think that favors Peña. I just think overall the other things you factor in from the standpoint of you saw freak accidents from Peña in a lot of ways trying to make big plays. Some of the injuries with Correa were like mysteries, massage therapists and things that have happened at the house and all those other kind of things that you weren't counting on. It's weird, but he also year after year has spent significant time injured. I don't expect that from Jeremy Peña, but you just never know.
Well, Peña's had a couple years where he's been hurt, right? Like, that's one of the reasons that he had his season cut short last year.
Yep.
I'll be honest with you. I love Jeremy Peña as a player. If I'm picking Jeremy Peña, when you consider all of the finances, I'm taking Peña over Correa. The one fear that I still have with Jeremy Peña, like, he has shown a tendency to be injury prone. Like, that still needs to tell the rest of its story. But the fact that he hurts, you know, his thumb whenever he's diving for that ball, the fact that he broke his wrist last year, like, he has shown some couple of injury concerns like Carlos Correa. But the injury concerns also the reason I didn't want to pay Carlos Correa $35 million per year. I think Ocho sums it up pretty good. No, the Astros have not upgraded at shortstop, but they got sufficient value. The value of Peña better than the value of Carlos Correa, but if you're looking at best baseball player in 2022, Jeremy Peña or Carlos Correa, I believe it's still Carlos Correa.
I think I can see where you're coming from.
It's close, though.
Right?
It's close.
I think, and like I said, there's something to be said about veteran experience. He's been there and done that on the biggest stage. I think from the playoffs is something that's going to be a big factor, right? Because you and I said right out of the gates, look, if he just plays defense, somewhat respectable defense, everything else you'll take as with a grain of salt, but say, you know what, you can work with it.
He's been a lot better defensively than I think
a lot of people
thought.
So because he's upgraded his defense to get you to believe he can play defense consistently every single day in this league, you already like were thinking, well, whatever you get on offense would be, you know.
And he's been better offensively than we all would have thought.
Now, the next big thing is going to be, come playoff time, he's never been on that stage. He's never been bright lights, big stage, biggest chance to either succeed or fail miserably with all the nation watching. That's going to be another pressure cooker for him and another obstacle or a milestone he's going to have to get over, because we know Correa's done it.
Sure. Like, Peña's had heroics, right? He's got the two walk-off homers, but you're absolutely right. Doing it in the, you know, the bigger stage, the national stage, the postseason stage, that has far more significance than walking it off against Toronto. What was it, April, right. May? I can't remember. That carries more significance of walking it off. That he had last week. Or was it? I think it was
Kansas
still. I think it was Kansas City. Was it the first game?
It's either the
Angels
or the Royals. Yeah,
you know, a week ago in July, earlier this week. Much different doing it on the big stage. Doing it in October, postseason baseball. 1460. Don't know if it's a current upgrade, but he will have a better peak than Correa. I've heard a bunch of guys talking about how great his work ethic is. I wouldn't be surprised if he worked hard enough to become the better player. And I'm not too worried about the injuries. I think the team is trying to be very protective of him. They have also said that. They also have said that Jeremy Peña has never played, I think it was more than 140 games over the course of one full season as a professional player. So they are trying to limit his games. They are trying to be protective of Peña. If we want to be very honest about Carlos Correa's peak, if you look at his very best season, really not like top five in like terms of like a single league. Like, Altuve's had a much higher, better single season. Yordan, obviously. Tucker, obviously. Carlos Correa, to me, because of the heroics in the postseason, and quite frankly, because he told Cody Bellinger to, if you don't know the facts, you can up.
Yep.
He's never really had one singular great year where he was, like, top three MVP type of player.
Let me piggyback back on that and ask you a question. Have we seen the peak year of Carlos Correa's career?
I think we're seeing it right now. Because, I think 2022.
So you think the twin season might be his best? That's saying something, too. Because the money is one thing, but then living up to it and being able to say, I've established myself and I put together seasons or, you know, a season on top of other impactful seasons that put me at a certain level, I don't know that you're ever going to equal the level of play and the statistics that go with it and the body of work with the money that he has earned. In quotes,
yep.
And I think that's something. I think that the sky is the limit with Peña,
sure.
And where he's coming in at is a higher level than where Correa came in terms of what he was his effectiveness.
Correa was really good as a rookie.
He was
really good as a rookie. I think Correa, we're looking at last year, this year, and probably next year, is like his three peak years, if you're looking at it from a three-year window. And let's not forget that this is a Carlos Correa contract year. Like, he has opt-outs after this year. He has opt-out after next year. He's not opting into a contract with Minnesota after this season. So this is another contract year for
Cole.
Absolutely not. He's not doing that. I am fascinated to see what Peña's peak is going to be. And that's the best thing about Peña. Is he's a rookie. He's 24 years old. And you have him for club control for the next 6 years at a very, very cheap contract. And he's in the discussion. He might not be better than Carlos Correa today, but he's in the conversation.
And the other thing you got to factor in is Minnesota went and got him to be the guy. If Peña just is doing his job and doing it where he's at right now
with
the guys that you have around him, you already are in a better situation with a better chance to succeed because you have other guys that are going to make you see better pitches and make play a factor in you being more successful.
Yeah, it's fun to watch Peña. I don't think he's as good as Correa just yet, but in the conversation, and that's far better than anybody could have expected in Peña's first year. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. One of the greatest Who Said It champions of all time defends his title, trying to defend his title for the first time.
I'm the greatest of all time.
I said one of the greatest.
Oh, okay.
There's only been a few. But Cody Stutes in the house trying to defend his strap against the Killer Bees. Who Said It is next on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.